Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Cowboy Bebop. But before we were actually talking about that, we were talking about me refusing the reality into which we live in, rejecting it. And we were talking about a little bit about next week's choy as well.
Yes. So, yeah, we'll find that out a little bit later.
So if you want to become a part of that wider conversation, join us at patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast and become patrons. Starting at the dollar level. All right. So this week, your choice was Cowboy Bebop, and it's 26 episodes long. It aired in April 1998, and it ran all the way through April 1999. Producer for it was Bandai Visual. Studio was Sunrise. It's an original work of art, and I will say work of art. And the genres are action, adventure, comedy, drama, sci-fi, and space, which all really hit key points for me.
Yeah, that's a fairly accurate representation. I would also probably say Western of some kind, only because it gave that, for lack of a better term, cowboy feel.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's definitely a space Western. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with it. I love Western. I really do.
Ironically enough, this is also one of the things we both love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And not just for the show itself, but for the music, too, at least on my part.
Yeah, I was paying attention specifically to a lot of the music going on, only because I knew you'd mention it. And yeah. Yeah, still, yeah. It's one of the things I think more modern anime is missing.
Yeah.
Because when you have enough room to experiment, if you will, when you have a story long enough to take over 12 episodes where you don't have to cram, I guess, you can have longer chase scenes and the music going through it is more, I would say, appropriate than anything else. I really enjoyed the saxophone being played in there and the vast array of instruments being used.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. And when they, what's really great is when they played or had a focal instrument like the saxophone or harmonica, it actually played into that episode.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I thought was really, really well done.
As far as times go, I guess timelines or eras, if you will, the episodes you see where the harmonica is most prevalent, it's more mobsterish, more, I guess, 1960-esque. Whereas with the saxophone, it was more of the jazz area, more of that time frame. And it just seemed not that the technology was different, but that, I don't know, the ambiance surrounded the instrument rather than the music just being thrown in there.
I gotcha. Oh, I gotcha on that. So a couple of the things that I've noticed is aged really, really well. I personally think it aged really, really well, but you could tell, and I forget at what point, but I remember reading that the series actually had been canceled partway through and then got picked up again due to large backlash and wanting to come back, wanting for it to be brought back. And so they came back and finished out the series. Now, I don't know exactly at what point got canceled or anything like that, but I have a feeling that it was like early mid episodes, not like within the first half, because you can tell that there was an animation shift in it halfway through the first 12 episodes around. So
like episode 8-ish, you'd say?
Yeah, like maybe eight nine around there.
Okay,
maybe a couple episodes beforehand.
I didn't notice that. I did notice an animation shift, or rather a story shift, after episode 12, technically episode 13, but it was a two-parter,
right?
And that's where I originally, when I first saw the show, I figured that that's where it ended, because when Spike is flying through the sky, the old Indian dude that is ever present whenever it's a Spike centered story, he says something to the effect of, "That's not a shooting star, that's a warrior gone home, finally at peace." And you're like, he died. We just killed off Spike. It's over. And then when I was a kid, that was it. And now, all of a sudden, there's 13 more episodes. So, I mean, I'm not mad at it. It gave backstory that I was not anticipating. It gave backstory that I thoroughly enjoyed. It made Faye Valentine way more human and way more understandable on how she became the way she is, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, the one thing the first 12 episodes missed missed out on, in my opinion, other than with Spike. And I personally think Spike was the main character in the first 12 episodes.
Yeah.
After that, it became more balanced, but it was very heavily Spike-centered. But after episode 12, episode 13, we started getting backstory from Faye, from, oh, crap, I forgot what his name is.
Jep,
yep. I don't know. I wanted to call him the Black Wolf.
Because during his story, it's not Black Wolf, Black Dog or something like that.
Black Dog, yeah.
But I don't know. That's a weird name to have, but nickname to have, but okay. I mean, like, I know why. I know why.
I was gonna say, they said it was because he was like a pit bull. He just, when he bit on, he didn't let go. Essentially, yeah. If he was on your scent, you couldn't get away.
Well, I mean, no, I was talking about more along the color, why they were calling it a Black Dog, but then his last name's Black, Jet Black.
That's a play on words I didn't get till you literally just said it. Jet Black. That's awesome.
Jet Black Dog.
I knew he was an old police officer. Mm-hmm. I knew he had an amazingly awesome bionic arm. But there really wasn't any. He was just a surface level character with surface level desires. And with that backstory, it filled in a bunch of stuff. And again, from episode 13 on, he was more than just a I'm too old for this type of person. He was more than a comic relief that steps in and saves the day occasionally. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in the first 12, he was a side character at best. He was the pilot of the ship, and there's no reason for him to actually be there, you know, story-wise. And I really liked the fact that the big bad in episode 12 and 13 came back in episode, 24? Something like that? And finished out the series. And it was really, really good. Like, the conclusion for everything was awesome. It left me not wanting more, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you know, it definitely did have bookends. That is for sure. It definitely did have bookends in that regard.
Did you notice, I think we talked about it before, but there was some serious Loop in the Third vibes going on.
Yeah, we had talked about it during the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had explained to you, yeah, it's because the yellow shirt, blue leisure suit was drawn from Loop in the Third, especially with his boots.
Yeah, and then you also mentioned, if memory serves, that he was loosely based off of Bruce Lee.
Yes, he was.
And he used a quote from Bruce Lee about being like water. And yes. I was like, that's it. That's perfect. Hey, this really doesn't fit in with the genre of the show. But did you know Bruce Lee had a younger brother?
I did not.
Yeah, Broccoli.
That's so great.
couldn't help it.
So original. Thought you were about to impart onto me some great knowledge I did not know, and instead you waste what few brain cells I had to spare
on that. An awesome dad joke. Yeah. I recently saw that, like, someone told me that, and I asked him to write it down specifically so I could tell it to you. I didn't know I could work it in so well as with what we're already talking about. Man, I needed that. anyway, but yeah, no, he was using the philosophy of, I think it was Jeet Kune Do. Yeah, I was gonna say, I have a stuffy nose, so I'm not.
Jeet Kune Do.
Perfect. But he was like, yeah, be like water. Like, water can fit in different things, be smooth, be fluid, be calm, use your opponent's force against them.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny because the guy he teaches it to happens to be a bounty he's looking for, and he just doesn't quite know it yet. And that's a theme that goes on a lot, where they either help the bounties they're trying to capture or help them and let them go.
Actually, because, the theme is that a majority of them end up dying.
You know, there's that too. There's that too. But they deserve that.
They're always broke. They always can't get a break, and their bounties are always dying. And one bounty they were able to actually catch and turn in, they didn't get that nice, hefty, large sum for, simply because it wasn't a live person.
You're not joking. A few times that happens.
Yeah.
Like,
they get shafted. It's like episode 2, they get shafted. The guy where they were introduced to Ayn, he basically turns himself in. I'm going to use air quotes for that. Turns himself in.
Yeah.
Because he crashed into the police station.
I meant to do that. Whoops.
What's cool is they touched on, like, the hyperspace travel and the gates for it, and what happens happens when you're actually stuck in there. So if like they close the gate, you can't get out. I like that they actually touched on
that. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. That gave me an idea as to, well, I mean, it comes back to the Feng Shui Master. He got stuck in hyperspace, essentially.
Yeah, in a parallel plane or something like that.
Yeah, he was unable to get back except for Feng Shui. We don't know if he died. Well, and it was a nice side story, but it didn't really do anything for me other than make me sad that some guy's going to live out the rest of his life. No, probably starved to death.
He said he was running out of oxygen, so he's going to suffocate.
Yeah.
Like, he said, thank you for bringing my daughter to come see me so that way I can see her before I die because we're out of oxygen and I'm not going to make it. Cool. Messed up, but okay.
Yeah. I was like, you've got harpoons on that thing. You can drag him out, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Kind of. Not sort really.
Of. Maybe.
Yeah. But I thought it was really cool that there's subspace traveling that they can do. You're not in a bubble to yourself. You're in kind of like a highway. You can run into other people. You can kill people, which they do, in this hyperspace field. And I don't know if the bodies are never recovered, if no one ever goes looking for them, or what. And there's a virus floating in that supersonic space or the subspace.
Yep, forever.
What happens if someone runs into it? Oh. That's for a different story. That's for a few years down the road.
That's a future Jack's problem, not present Jack problem.
Exactly.
Future Jack will have to come up with a solution for that, but not today. Not today's Jack.
This day. Yeah. No, I really liked it. Animation quality was top notch in my opinion. For the style it was in, I could not see anything better. Music was decent. I liked how everything went up. The chase scenes were a bit long and a bit cookie cutterish for me. However, I did like the mix of old technology and new technology that they ended up going through.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, Ed's still my favorite.
Ed is awesome. Ed is absolutely awesome. He is definitely one of my favorite characters, and I like how they introduced him, or her rather. Mm-hmm. I like how they introduced her and how Ed integrated it in with the crew. Like she was already a part of the crew in her mind and had no issues or problem integrating. And the level of intelligence that she has is really miraculous, even for her age. She's got to be what, 13, 14 years?
Maybe. They've got other 14-year-olds in there who are more developed. So I'm going to guess, like, you know, 10, 11, you know, still very childlike. An expert at chess, go figure.
Yeah.
I'm just naturally gifted in every way, shape, and form. And just a superb hacker. Now, when I was thinking about it last week, I thought that Einstein came with Edward. I didn't realize that Einstein was Jet's dog.
Who's Einstein?
The dog.
Oh, Ein? Yeah, it's simply Ein. It's not Einstein. Einstein. He says calls it Einstein, but the name is literally just Ein.
Oh. Well, in that case, I was wrong on two fronts. I thought, yeah, for some reason, I thought Edward, being a genius, had a dog named Einstein because they're always together. They become the inseparable pair.
Right. I mean, even the bull says Ein.
Yeah, I thought they couldn't fit Einstein.
Why not? It's a round bull. Write that sucker on there.
Well, see, what I thought actually happened was there was...
You could be right. I mean, like, it's a data dog and it's hyper intelligence. I mean, hell, dude, the episode where it was able to hack the dream sequence or whatever is going on. What the hell? Dude, I want a dog like
smart
that.
Dog. Smart dog. I don't know what to tell you. It senses you're in trouble and it's like, I need to fix. Go.
I'm just saying, if I get a dog like that, I'll be safe.
Unfortunately, I don't think you can get a dog with Lassie level intelligence right off the bat.
You know, is there a reason why you have to crush my dreams right out the gate?
Yeah. Yeah. The basilisk. Remember that? We were talking about that before and you're just like, no.
Are we talking about the time traveling granddaughter and Vampire Slayer?
No, we're talking about the basilisk, the time traveling idea that you're either for or against, but someone doesn't want to choose yet.
Hey, I reject your reality and substitute my answer.
Exactly. Therefore, Einstein.
Thank you. I will take that compliment.
Oh, no, not you being Einstein. The dog's name is Einstein, not Ein. Although you are pretty smart. I will give you that. You're able to set all this stuff up. So yeah, you're like half an Einstein.
Oh, thank you. I'll take that. I'll take the compliment. You can be the other half. Two halves I'll make a whole.
I like it.
There you go.
Oh, goodness. What did you think about what did you think about the guy who woke Faye up and gave her a bunch of debt, injecting fat into himself to look like me?
I thought that was funny, but what's even funnier is Faye says, it's only a drop of comparison to the debt that I had. Now, how many messed up is that? You learn her backstory when she actually wakes up, and her back, or not her backstory, but you learn about when she wakes up. And how messed up is that? That, hey, we woke you up. We thawed you out from cryostasis because you had this one disease and we didn't have a way to be able to cure it for you. So we froze you, thawed you. And here's this large bill, and it's over $300 million that you owe us.
And we still don't know how to fix your mysterious disease.
Well, I mean, like, she's fine now.
Exactly. Is it even a disease ever? Was she just wealthy enough to cryogenically freeze herself?
I mean, like, I assume. It looked like she came from money. So you would have assumed that it was paid off in advance and they're just money grubbers trying to get it.
That's what I thought too. And I was really, really hoping that we would find her an eventual storyline where she would make it home, so to speak. And her parents, of course, are dead because it's just that long. And you'd find a gravestone and then she'd look up her own name and then realize she's got an inheritance of like billions. And then everyone lives happily ever after.
No.
There's still a chance for that. You don't know.
Yeah, I do, because she would have gambled it all away.
She would have bought the casino and then lost it all.
That's kind of messed up to say that, but that's actually probably true. That is probably true. She would have definitely bought the casino and then lost it all and the casino. Isn't the house always supposed to win? Yeah, not for you, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, she is the house, and she's dumping all of her profits back in. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah.
You know, so another really interesting thing, and there's subtleties. There are subtleties strewn throughout the whole show. So, for example, you have Julia and Vicious. Julia is only ever mentioned or shown referenced when Vicious is in the episode, too.
I didn't notice that, but that makes sense. That makes sense because they're part of Spike's backstory, for lack of a better. Vicious is the big bad. He is what his name is. He's the big bad that started the series. He's the big bad that I assume ended the series. It ended ambiguously, I would say. But
I mean, he was defeated. Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like it gave a solid ending, and there is no denying that it did give a solid end. That
is Spike dead?
Yes.
Really? You think so?
Not stay till after the credits.
I did.
Of the last episode.
Yeah, you'll carry it with you.
Yeah, and you saw the picture of him there, happy, but finally passed on?
I didn't see him pass on, I just saw him passed out.
He's dead. Like, literally, he is dead. Like, that was the whole thing. He collapsed over and dead. Yeah, he's dead. It's like, book ending, man.
He was asleep. I didn't see him die. Obviously, we saw the same thing. He probably died if you said so, but to me, he was just passed out.
Well, you know.
Although, see you around, Space Cowboy, turned into, you're gonna carry it with you. I guess it's possible.
Well, you know, I would love to hear other people's opinions on whether or not he's actually. I say he's dead because how they end and my own interpretation of it. I know that you have differing views.
More optimistic, one might even say.
Less final, with the hopes of if he's not dead, that means there is a possible season 2 that could be written. I mean,
I got some stuff to say about that, but I'll have to hold off till I do more research. I see what you're saying. I do. I don't think it deserves a second season. I think everything that needed to be done was done. I think if they did add a second season, it would be like trying to beat a dead horse. And I think it would cheapen what a masterpiece this actually is so far.
My
thing is, I don't understand why they would kill Spike.
Well,
but not everybody else.
Because it was a solid ending and it ultimately was a story that revolved him mainly. Even though we got the backstory for other characters, it did give us a solid ending for him, and it did start with a flashback of him fighting, and before he got to the point to where we knew him, and then it basically just did a full circle.
So in your opinion, it was just a main story about him, and we just got to know the side characters a little bit more than we normally would have?
Yes.
Kind of like a Uri and April type situation?
Yes.
No, but see, even still, in Uri and April, we knew who the main protagonists were.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, no, yeah.
Well, to be honest, they all got their own form of final end.
True, but I would also say that they all survived it and lived happily ever after.
Sure, sure. Or happily ever in debt, or pick your flavor as to what the hell's going on.
So many opportunities to actually get debt-free, and they just nope right out of that. They just gotta stop killing people. I never thought, since you put it that way, I never thought I'd be rooting for the people who keep killing their victims.
Right?
My favorite person has a body count. Oh, well, in that case, right. It's probably a small body count, an accident. Oh, no, it's all on purpose, and it ranges in the hundreds of millions of dollars lost. Good to know. Good to know.
But what's also really, really great is episode one, it sets you up to their financial and money problem off the bat. They didn't even beat around the bush or anything like that. It's straight up, like, here, we have money problems. This is how it is. What happened to all this money? The cop, the store, the other property damage that you did? Yeah, killed the dough.
We got invoice for all the damages you did. Good job. You want meat? You got to work for it. Jeez. I hate to say it, but you're not wrong.
All right. I think this is a great spot. On a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
That's a damn good question.
I'm biased as hell. So
I was going to say, go ahead.
I'm giving it a 10, just so you know where I'm at.
Okay. Well, I mean, a 10 would be, well, I mean, can I improve on it? Personally, no. For the genre that it's in, for the story it's part of, for the age and how well it held up, 10. Like, I could not do something better. The story, aside from Ghosts in the Shell, do you know if this predates Ghosts in the Shell at all?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Ghosts in the Shell predates this.
Okay, so they did pull a little bit from that. Even still, completely unique. I thoroughly did enjoy it. The technology was a bit inconsistent at times. I loved the old dudes that kept gambling and saying they built it all. I'm going to as well attend. For some reason, those dudes don't die ever, no matter how many times they get shot at.
Hey, that's all right. That's okay. They're there for the relief. Exactly.
So yeah, I'm also going to give it a 10. It's a pretty solid thing that I would recommend to anyone. And yeah, I think it belongs in the 10s club.
There you go. And I'm glad we're in agreement on that. It's a classic. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful show. Its story is really well done. The movie, like we had talked about a couple weeks ago, is a great filler for like that in-between point anywhere in the series. You can pick up the movie after they get the entire Bebop crew, pop in that movie, watch it, and you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked the fact that there was no forward progression skill-wise or talent-wise. They were all, I would say, at a constant level from start to finish. You got what you got. There was no training arcs. There was no needed training arcs because they came as professionals.
Yep.
And the backstory you got, while sometimes sad, it still just solidified what you saw.
Yeah. Which just made it all the better in my humble opinion.
Yeah. Like, I agree. I'm going to have to agree wholeheartedly.
So next week is my choice.
It is. And we actually saw what you wanted to do already. And
we did. Yeah. And I had posted this in the patrons chat and talked a little bit about it in the pre-show. And it's going to be Chobits. We're watching Chobit for the next.
Yep. This one is 27. No, it's not 27 episodes. It looks like 27, but there's no ones. Yeah. So it's really only 24 episodes.
26.
I was close. It's in the 20s. It's up there. Like,
it's 26 episodes long. Genres are sci-fi, comedy, drama, romance, ecchi, and seni. And it's one that I've seen before. I've seen it both subbed and dubbed. They're both equally good in their own right. So you can pick your flavor as to how you would want to watch it.
Well, see, I thought I had seen it before. The short answer is no, I haven't.
Of course not.
Yeah, I was mistaken. I thought...
The reason why this actually was chosen is because we were talking about our waifus in Discord, and Chobits came up, and she came up from Chobit, and why I decided to make this my choice. Cats had said, doesn't recollect us ever doing Chobit, so I figured, well, why not now?
Yeah, it's a good choice. I agree, and I look forward to it.
Well, thanks for tuning in and hanging out with us. If you liked this week's choice, please let us know. Feel free to reach out to us, featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com. Join us in our Discord. Link's going to be in the show notes, or if you're listening to this on YouTube, go ahead and hit that link that's going to be down there. And we're available on Twitter at Those Anime Guys, Feature Anime Podcast, Facebook. Don't forget to leave a like, subscribe, rating, review, comment, whatever else. It really helps us out. And if you want to help support us and help us grow and become even better for you, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you some access to some bonus content for before shows. We usually always talk, and we will sometimes talk even after each show, and $1 a month gets you that. Until next time, I'm Jack.
And I'm Rick. And God willing, we'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.